irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Under the Rock Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is The Strange Chameleon Show, a podcast with style, soul, and sarcasm, along with laughter, love, and listen! Follow them now on iTunes. I promise, you won't, I mean you will, be entertained.
Yes!
Yay! Yes.
Welcome to the Strange Chameleon Show. We are back!
Yes! That's what I'm talking about!
That's a lot of excitement over there.
Yeah! I'm so excited. We took a little, hiatus.
Yes.
We're back.
Yes, yeah. COVID affected everybody, okay?
COVID has affected a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I could just trap myself in the studio. It was good I could trap myself in the studio, but people out there working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did my essential work on the microphone and in the booth. I don't know about you guys.
We too. We did a lot of music projects.
Some music. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that.
Positivity helps. Music helps so much.
Especially right now, especially being black and with what's going on in the world. it's just bananas.
We're going to definitely get into that. X-Chill, a.k.a. You Gotta Chill Will, a.k.a. You got so many names under your belt.
I have so many names.
What could we call you today?
No, are they alter egos or what made you change?
Initially, my first name was Hennessy because I like to drink Hennessy.
Oh,
they used to call me Hennessy Jones back in my hometown.
I think you mentioned that the last time you were here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now it's just like I've been switching names. So when I went to X Chills because I like Mega Man X, and I was like, and then people weren't getting my name, and I'm like, me and my manager were talking. We're like, well, what's really catchy and we can brand really easily and people can remember? I said, well, people always tell, because I'm out of control, and people are always telling me, Will, you need to chill, Will. So I'm like, wait a minute, chill, Will. There we go.
There it is.
Put it on T-shirts.
Boom. And it's catchy. I mean. Chill Will. My name is Chill Will.
Yeah. Chill Will.
On the stage, Chill Will.
Hey,
we're going to remember
it's just
you.
I'm not really chill. When they meet me, they're like, you're not chill at all.
So just to let you know, my dear Strange, you don't need to cup the mic when it's already a mic.
Okay.
You don't need to do that. It gets super loud in the headphone.
Hello.
Create this tunnel.
We're on the mark.
We don't need any of that.
Darth Vader effect.
Awesome. So what have you been doing? I mean,
you've been doing a lot.
Yeah. Let's just start off. Just before we start, but this whole thing that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the COVID, and then all of a sudden the riots, and then last time we had you was just right in the beginning.
It was right in the beginning.
Yeah, right in the beginning. Right
so what happened? How are you been? How
I think you were our last guest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, honestly, COVID-19 was a blessing for me because, I was so busy when it first started. I didn't have time to do my fundamentals as far as, as a singer and a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I was never able to, I was always so busy doing shows or interviews. I wasn't really focusing on perfecting my craft. So when that happened and everything shut down, me and my keyboard was lover, best friend, counselor. I just honed to my keyboard.
That's awesome.
And was in the studio. So for me, especially, that unemployment wasn't bad either.
I hear about
unemployment wasn't that bad either. So I just was in the studio and constantly me and my vocal coach was just, it wasn't really safe to be in a vocal class.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
We was Zoom and TikTok just blew up during that.
Yeah.
So
nice.
We were Zooming and then I was just really just making music. And then I did a lot of self-discovery when I wouldn't open up about a lot of records that I didn't want to write about my past and my sexuality. So I was just let's talk about it. It's my perfect opportunity. And then literally as I'm in the process of writing, the George Floyd situation happened, and I just was wow. So as a black man, it's it affected me.
Mm-hmm.
We've had situations like that before, but I think that was sort of the nail on the coffin for our culture. That was just well, we got to do something. Now, I went out there busting nobody's stuff. So if y'all saw me out there inside Macy's coming in and out, it wasn't me.
Okay.
Good.
That's good.
You kept it clean.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
You have receipts.
You were out there seeking real change.
Yeah, and what was inspirational for me is that I had a chance to go to Washington, D.C.
Oh, awesome.
And I went to Washington, D.C., and then a company flew me out there, and they said that, you know, with kind of the meet, they heard my songs, and they said, would you like to help lead a protest? And I said, of course I would.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, like, when I went out to D.C., it was inspiring as a black man, because in L.A., the riots were so violent.
Oh, my gosh,
and in
yes.
D.C., even though it was violent at first, when I went to D.C., I went June 2nd to the 5th. Mm-hmm. It was so peaceful and lived. Like, as a black man, I was just watching so many, like, war veterans were out there talking. There was a guy in a wheelchair who were telling us, you know, just how he would want to see youngsters mm-hmm. protest. And he was teaching people the right way. So we're like,
that's awesome.
Curfew was at midnight, but we were out there till 6. Man, my legs are tired. We were out till 6 in the morning, walking the streets, protesting. But the police let us because we did it peacefully.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's good.
Yeah, you were working with them. They were working with you.
Yeah, so they didn't really bother us or nothing.
Yeah.
But the only thing I didn't like is that there were certain radical groups out there that weren't black. They were joining our protests just to spray paint.
Let me tell you something. I know a casting director, mm-hmm. and she has a pretty big following, and she posted her friend was out there. She was right here at the Grove, Fairfax.
Yeah.
And she has video, and it actually went a bit viral. I don't know if you saw it, but I saw it trending on some really, like, top pages mm-hmm. on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it was two light, you know, I don't know if they were Hispanic or white,
yeah.
but they had light skin like me. And they were wearing all black, you know, with the mask on, of course, spray painting BLM.
Mm-hmm.
And she got on their case. She was like, why are you doing this? They're going to blame it on us. Yeah. They're going to think we're doing it. And then she was like, oh, well, I'm doing this for you. Okay. And she's like, no, if I wanted you to do it, I'd ask you. Don't do this.
Okay.
And then they were just walking away. And also there were videos where people, you know, the ones that like yourself were trying to make a take part in a peaceful protest. They took videos of just bricks mm-hmm. randomly located in cities
yeah.
where they knew, you know, the protests were going to take place. And this one guy in particular was like, look, they're trying to set us up. We got to do better. We got to do better. Don't fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's just I'm glad that you point that out
yeah.
because they're definitely out there, you know, trying to incite some other yeah. whole agenda.
Stir things up.
Yeah, something else. And taking the moment yeah. away from people like you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes it look like we're out to, because most of us weren't. I think it was a lot of people, like in L.A., I think a lot of people who did the riots, I'm not going to say that I was against it or I was for it. I'm just saying I come from a place of not having nothing. And when you strip somebody of nothing and they have nothing to live for, what do you expect them to do? They're going to ravage and riot and loot and... They feel like that's just their way of making a cause and making a purpose. And I don't think that's right, but I understand the reasoning
yeah.
of why they're doing it.
No, for sure. And my opinion on that is it's wrong. First of all, it's wrong for what they're doing because a poor man died because of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You looting, destructing property, throwing bricks, all this stuff to make
it. It's not going to bring him
back. It's not going to bring him back, and he wouldn't want that either. He will be like,
I find
don't
it
do
so
this.
Sad. Yeah, so sad that the fiance of his was like pleading, and the brother, like, he would not want this.
Yeah.
He would not want this, and no one really cared. You know, I just
wanted an opportunity to be destructive.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of the times people have that destructive tendency, and they just kind of need that, you know, excuse. But at the end of the day, you know, we all have to be accountable for our actions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but
everyone
I'm glad that you were
jobs.
Doing it the right way for sure.
And I mean, yeah, I definitely want to, especially creating a platform that where people are watching me. Like we're most definitely in a fine line to where we're seeing celebrities, what we call in our culture, getting canceled every day because mm-hmm. maybe they say some choice words that, or maybe they word things the wrong way. But in the same way, having my platform, I'm not going to get on my, even though I have no filter, I'm not going to get on my platform and just say some ignorant stuff that's just going to piss people off. But at the same time, you know, I do want people to know that, you know, our culture, we're mad and we're upset. But I feel like if we do it right this time,
mm-hmm.
our kids' kids and their kids' kids, they're not going to have to do this again. Right. We're going to be able to make our voice heard to where 100 years from now, 50 years from now, we don't have to go through this process. And I don't want that. I don't want my culture, my people to feel like, you know, our voice isn't heard. And I want to be able to make sure that we matter just like everybody else. But we do have, I'm not saying that there's all cops are bad, but I know that we do have some cops psychologically and mentally.
Oh, yeah.
They take that to their head and yeah. they feel like it's okay to use violence. And one thing I do want to say, like, to my culture that's listening is that I see it because I think some cops think because they see black men and black men kill each other so easily in the world. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes they think, well, why would they care? They're killing each other. Mm-hmm. And I want that to be known that I feel like as a black man that we need to stop hurting each other. Mm-hmm. If you see a black woman getting beat on the street, don't do the bystander effect and say, oh, well, somebody else is going to help her. Help yeah. her.
Right.
If you see a kid getting kidnapped, help them report that. Yeah. People just have that logic of, well, it ain't got nothing to do with me. No, because mm-hmm. it has something to do with, I see anybody getting mugged on the street. You know, I'm not going to say that I will step in and jeopardize my life, but I'm definitely going to. You know, I'm going to call like, hey, bro, you know, yes, I'm going to call it out.
Right.
Call it out. I'm going to call the authorities. But I'm not you know, stepping in there.
You know, I want to get sad, but I'm going to do yeah, what I need yeah, to do yeah. to try to
exactly.
help that person.
Exactly. Right. Think of your
whether
safety
it's like
sure.
you're across the street and you're like, hey, stop that, you know, like just doing something.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Which brings me back to this one incident that was all over like KTLA, all over the local news of a woman mm-hmm. getting kidnapped. Like at night, mm-hmm. and then a Ring doorbell camera caught it, and she was screaming, and people walked out, and they were so calm, and this mm-hmm. woman in her robe was just like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, no one cared to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, something's going on. I would have been like, hey, you know, shout, whatever. At least let them know, you know, there's people waking up, they hear you, but yeah, it's definitely pretty
what's
scary.
What's annoying is when something bad is happening to somebody else, they whip out their phones. They're not doing anything, but they're recording it, I get it, to document on their profile, but they're just having their phones out and they're not helping that child or that innocent person
yeah,
getting
hurt.
There
are some situations mm-hmm. where they can't really do anything, right? But then there are situations where we've all seen it where they could, and like you said, they don't like do
those
anything.
Instances. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
I mean, I feel like even if you don't want to step in and get yourself hurt, if you see somebody getting kidnapped or something, you at least can call and say, right. "Hey, this yeah. is what the car looks like and the license plate."
Right.
Instead of recording it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you can't actually. In that instance, it's okay. It's yeah. okay to record because you can't do anything. It's part from yeah. far away, and you're like, "I got these guys. I got document." But if it's right in front of you and someone's getting beat or someone, and then someone's just having the phone out and recording, it's yeah. like, no, you can do something. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, but, I think just initiative is, you know, whether it's calling or taking action, calling the authorities, like you yeah. said, it's important.
So tell us about Mr. Robinson, the new single. And you want to start off with, you did a photo video, music video.
Are you, before we get to, just real quick, I just wanted to point out, did you want to share your funny, good deed, homeless encounter that turned into like you begging the homeless guy to take your food?
Okay. We'll quickly do that real quick. So there was this homeless person that we felt we wanted to help out. We had this like big box of food mm-hmm. and everything like that. And mm-hmm. I go and he's a fast guy. He's like an older guy and he had a dog. And all of a sudden, like I turned, tried to grab the box and he's like already half a mile past. And he's like going up and I'm like chasing him with this big box. And I really had to use the restroom. I really had to, like, it was one of those times, too. So I'm just, like,
my gosh.
You know, walking around and chasing him. And I'm like, sir, mister, you know. And he's like, huh? And I go and I'm like, hey, would you like the, you know. He's like, no. And I was like, are you sure? There's, like, so much good stuff in here, you know. I mean, I would have it. I would keep it, you know. And he's like, no, I'm cool. And he's, like, kind of just dissed me. And I'm like, all right. And then so I'm walking back and I'm really at that point where I just, you know, I got to go. So I use the box.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Just
I'm kidding.
No, he didn't
I'm
do
kidding.
That.
No. And that was just like,
I just found it funny. He really felt so awkward with like all these cars.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
you know, the homeless guy's not accepting his food, which
My
was clean
deed.
And cans. And you know what I mean? And he's like, no. And then the dog started barking at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then he was like, please, sir.
Please
take my food.
It was pathetic. It was funny.
Oh my gosh, that's what happens to us sometimes.
Yeah. Wow. I know. It was pretty crazy.
It's quite the story.
You did a music video of Mr. Robinson. Tell us about that.
Yesterday, I shot the music video to Mr. Robinson. It was pretty... I mean, I had fun. For the most part, I had fun. But the artistry of, like, shooting a music video is tough, especially on the kneecaps.
You know? Oh, really?
Well, I'm a singer-dancer. So, like, even when I tell people who are just getting into music and the industry and working and... shooting a choreography scene is not as fun as it looks when you watch it. It's a lot of work. You shoot it like 20 different times at 20 different angles. And I'm a real centric dancer, so I'm not really a K-pop, we gonna hit a left, we gonna hit a
right. Right, right.
I like be on the floor, grinding, spinning, all that. So shooting a music video for me was, it was really fun because I think in person when I'm like chilling with people and I'm hanging with people, in my personal life, I'm chill, except for I have my OMG moments. But, like, when the camera comes on, I'm a completely different person. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm really telling, sprouting these jokes out. And I have, like, 20 film crew people around me. And I'm telling these jokes. And there's people that's, you know, working the monitors and PAs. They're just looking at me like, I'm just thinking that they're probably going to go home and talk about me because I'm out of control. I'm talking about granny sex. I'm talking about all types of stuff.
Oh, wow.
You know. And they're just looking at me like, I don't know, the artist
is
like
this. For real?
Yeah. So, you know, but it, to me, it's fun. And Mr. Robinson, for me, I wrote the record like a month ago.
Okay.
A month ago. Yeah, I recorded it. I wrote it a month ago and I recorded it like two or 3 weeks ago. This record was really like, I guess in a moment to where, like, not really, it was kind of just ironic because I wrote it before Pride happened. Now that, like, especially this year, Pride is being accepted so much, you know, mainly because, you know, what I kind of don't like is they kind of, like, call out that, even though Pride was first started from a transgendered black male, female, I guess, however they want to be referred. So, but, like, when I wrote the record, like, I was always extremely cautious and extremely scared to talk about my sexuality. Only because, like, we're in the business and primarily heterosexual people. And as a female, it's cool to say, you know, Nicki Minaj, Katy Perry, they all have done it. But then it's like, for a guy, it's just, you have to do it in such a right way creatively for people to accept it. And I felt like that's the way I wanted to go about this record, is that I didn't want to be really explicit about what I went through, but I just want to talk about general love, that whether you're a guy or a girl, whoever you're with in a relationship, we all been in a relationship where it's been toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Some people stay for the sex, some people stay for the money, some people stay for Hummers, hedge funds, you know, whatever
right,
it is,
right?
You're just staying for, you know, but ultimately some relationships go from, like, I know what it's like to be in somebody who's controlling and they use a certain aspect of the relationship to control you and then it turns violent.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, writing this record was really important to me and take a risk as an artist, because I feel like if I just play it safe as an artist and do what everybody else is doing, I'm not going to stand out. Nobody's going to ever notice me. So the Mr. Robinson record is really near and dear. And my team was like, let's put out that club record. And in my mind, I was thinking that we're in the middle of COVID. Nobody's going to the club. You know, it could be played on a radio, but, like, I want a record that's going to touch people, that you can bop to and you can listen to, and it's going to hit you, and you'll be like, yeah, I love that record, that people are going to remember it even after this situation is going on. So, yeah, like, Mr. Robinson is near and dear, and it is a true story.
Okay.
About an ex. Their last name really was Robinson. Mm. And I'm going to skip the for real first name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna go
Pharrell back. Robinson?
No, he said he's going to skip the for real.
Oh, okay,
I'm going to skip the first name.
I know.
But his last name was Robinson
in real life.
And
all right.
I'm not going to get on here and lie. Say, you know, it's just, no, it was about an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Last name Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A-hole and, Robinson.
A-hole
Robinson. So
that's what the song is about, is a true story of someone named Robinson.
Yeah.
Last name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Being
destructive.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, we had a really good relationship. It was sort of like, because he rang and he hung out in this crew that were like these wannabe gangsters, wannabe whatever they want to call themselves. And, you know, we just had like this friendship that was like unspeakable bond that was just playing games, having fun, kicking it. And it just, you know, took a left, you know, just turned into a, you know, situation where you really care about somebody. But
gotcha.
Being black and being a male and being from an urban community, liking the same sex is not, it's not identified. It's, you're a sissy. You're, they don't look at you as a man. So I get certain people may want to lie and do this. And it got to a certain point to where this person wanted to keep up their reputation so much, they lied and said, I drugged them to turn them gay.
Are you serious?
Oh my gosh.
And I said, I don't think
Cosby style.
I don't think there's a sativa in this world that makes you turn gay. But I'm just like, if there is, I might invest. But, you know, but I, it was just one of those scenarios where, like, I was being myself and they weren't being themselves. And I allowed this person to, like, defame my name, disrespect me. Like, I broke every moral code against myself only because I was really in love with this person. And there are women and guys that are getting relationships. And I'm not saying because I hurt myself in this relationship because I felt like I wasn't adequate enough because I wasn't doing things right. And the end cause, it was him. But there are women out here and men. I know a lot of guys. Guys who say, I ain't never killed myself a girl. You're lying. I can mention three people, men right now, who will call me like, bro, I'm going to end it now. This girl, she playing with my feelings, bro. Like, we all get in those emotional states where we feel like whether it is we messed up or, you know, maybe situations happen to where you let your emotions cloud your judgment and you say, I don't think I can be with anybody else, which you can.
Right.
It's just taking that time and separating the feelings and the guilt or wherever you're feeling. And that's what I felt. And that's what I want people to get from Mr. Robinson is that if you're ever in a situation to where you don't deserve to get hurt, you don't deserve to get hit in the face with a bottle, which that's what happened. I did.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
You don't deserve to get belittled and talked about in a relationship. And if that's not love, and I want people to know that that's not love, and you have to learn to let go and when to let go, because I didn't know how to let go. And Enzo, I was in a relationship, and thank you, I was in a relationship, because I wrote the song.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah.
Good, good. I remember, just real quick, to piggyback off that, is that I went to a school where it was for, it was like a nursing course, and there was this girl, these two girls, they were a couple, and one of them would hit the other one. And it was like the teacher knew, but no one really talked about it. And whenever she would, you know, be social with someone, I could see that the other one would kind of like watch her, like observe, like she was jealous, like, oh, like she was trying to figure out, oh, is she really just being friendly or is she flirting? And it was really weird, but I was like, okay, whatever. And then I heard that she jumped her in the elevator.
Oh, wow.
And was just pounding at her, and she was screaming, please, please stop. And then the school staff had to get involved, and it was this huge deal. And I was just like, wow. Oh my gosh. It was just crazy. But I think, you know, maybe that's, I think that, well, I've heard that in the gay community, when there are when there's violence in the relationship, that's not really discussed. Do you think that's true?
I mean, because a lot of the times you get in relationships where a lot of friends think it's cute, or they like, oh, you do it. And then a lot of times, like for me, when me and Mr. Robinson would get into it, and for the most part, I'm not going to say that it wasn't a situation where I was fearful. There are people who are fearful. I wasn't fearful in my life. I'll be 100 with you. I was the aggressor. I was always the one hitting him.
Really?
And I will be honest with you right now and say, he would be cheating. He done cheated with some of my cousins. And I would find this stuff. But like,
he was cheating with one of your cousins?
Yeah, but in the beginning, I felt like I was at fault because I knew what our relationship was just like side pieces. We weren't each other's main. We were just having friends, started having sex. And then it was just like, it was a cool situation until we caught feelings and started being with each other. But I knew he was a man whore. Going into this.
Yeah, you knew.
And I tried to change that situation with money and sex and giving him everything. He loved my cooking. His favorite food was mac and cheese. I could put it down in the kitchen on mac and cheese.
Interesting. Food didn't change him.
No, like nothing did. And I had to realize, like, he's a hoe. Like, you're a hoe. So I had to, like, change my whole perception of, like, I can't change nobody in that aspect. So I have to exit myself in this situation. And when I exited myself in the situation, that's when his end it got violent, because he was, at that point, he felt like, well, these pictures of us got exposed on Facebook and they were sharing it, and now we just not finna fuck with each other. And he was just breaking into my house and do crazy stuff. And that last fight we got, that's when he hit me with the bottle. And we got into a fight, and he hit me in the face with a bottle. So we got into it, and to me it was what it was. But I just felt like, I'm not gonna put it out there that he was a cat that was just wake up, yeah, we're just gonna fight. No, that was me. Cause he would come in, wouldn't come in late, wouldn't come home the next day. I was throwing candles, I was throwing all types of stuff. I was breaking his GTA. Can't break the GTA. They get mad over the GTA.
What's the GTA?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh.
Can't break the GTA, bro.
Oh,
bro.
No. That's stepping over the, yeah. You know, crossing just, the lines right there.
You know, it's just, I did a lot of petty stuff. He did petty stuff. And in hindsight, we were taking women home together and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
So in hindsight, we had a great situation. It's just that when it was time to go, and I realized it was time to go, he didn't really have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
So he was like, well, where I'm going to go? So it's just like, and when you're so used to using sex to control somebody, that's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when that doesn't work anymore and I got above that, it just, like I said, it just turned into a bad situation. And that's why I say any ladies or men or anybody that's listening to that, like, I just want to know it's not love. Like, it's a temporary fix.
Yeah.
But an end result, I could have had a way worse relationship than that. And I could have been... a worse aggressor. He could have been a worse aggressor. He could have hit me in the face with a bottle and bust me in the nose. I could have died. I mean, you never know. It's just mm-hmm. one of those things.
It's yeah. Somebody can easily slip, fall back on their head the wrong way, and then
done.
Yeah.
That's how it normally happens, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, because aggression's going through. You don't know. You blank out, and all of a sudden you know mm-hmm. body's on the floor, and you're like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. Who did this? Who did this?
You know, I look at it, and I think a lot of things I took fault in the relationship was because, like, I did a lot of petty, hurtful things out of spite. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it was right, you know, but, you know.
It was just toxic, like you said.
It was, yeah. I was on my end. It was on his end, because I won't never put it on just, oh, it was just them. Oh, yeah, it was me too. I was.
Yeah, it was just bad.
As hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I mean, that's a good story. I mean, it's a not a story. It's a true story. But yeah, for the Mr. Robinson, I like that, you know. Yeah, so. You know,
sure, there's a lot of people that can relate to that, and that's good. You wanted to put that in a song and express yourself. And did you recorded that during the quarantine?
Yeah, I recorded that during the quarantine, and then we finished. Yeah, we did all that during quarantine, and then we shot the music video yesterday. So I was,
nice.
I did a faster record, but like I said, I was adamant on making that record first because I just felt like that was just a record that, number one, people needed to hear, and number two, from a male R&B artist, that point of view has never been discussed. And I just felt like everybody said, you're taking a risk doing that. And I said, well, I'm all about risk. So.
Good for you.
There you go.
Good for you. Yeah, I think that's really good that, you know, you're out of that relationship. You kind of feel better. You're kind of cleansed a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I'm cleansed. They're in jail.
Okay.
I'm they're in jail?
From what I hear, they're in jail on their way to prison. So.
Oh, wow.
You know.
They might get out early.
I know.
Because one of those. COVID.
Because of COVID.
Well, yeah.
I dodged a bullet.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask, before we play the song, how do you, I think, okay, if I mentioned this before, forgive me, but when you go and you record, you have your own studio? At your house,
no.
Your home studio. You go somewhere.
I have like my keyboard and my main setup that I write songs with.
Okay,
but I actually record. I recorded this song at Zoom Recording Studio.
Oh, really? They have their own recording studio?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought you were talking about Zoom. This like the Zoom.
The video Zoom.
Yeah, the camera.
Yeah, they can. They have their own recording studio.
Yeah.
Nice.
Where?
Downtown LA.
Downtown? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't
interesting.
Know that.
Did not know that. That's cool. Nice. I thought there was just video Zoom and just doing video conferencing.
Yeah, they have a lot of production companies and stuff.
Cool.
Too.
That's awesome. It's good to know.
And so now when you got your music video, do you you got your own crew for that, or is something you look up in the Yellow Pages?
I met, shout out to at Mixed Media LA. He's a really great guy. Like when I met him, it was a toss up between a guy that did my very, very first video because he did a really good job. And this guy. But I really chose Jordan and his wife because they were really humble. They knew what they were doing, and they really cared about the project and the song, and the fact that, like, they didn't rush me. They cared about it. They made me feel comfortable. So, like, it really was a, and he had a whole crew. So, he had a whole crew of people, and I was just like, you know, wow. Like, I really, it was really a great experience picking him, and I just felt like it was made in heaven for me to get him, because he didn't make me feel uncomfortable shooting it, even though it was a raw emotion for me.
Yeah.
He brought out the emotions I needed to. He brought out my crying scenes good. So I was like, hey, you know.
Wow. Now, when is it going to be released? Do you know?
July 10th is the premiere.
Oh, nice. Robinson. Just before tax day. A few days before tax. Mm-hmm. July 15th.
A few days. Awesome. I think it was July 14th.
14th? 15th?
Never mind.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to file probably past that. Awesome. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Robinson.
Help if this thing was plugged in.
All right, Smithers. Here we go.
Will. I blame myself when I fell for you, cause I really thought I could change you. Henny and bills, yes, I did it all for you. When you lost that house on Pearl, I stayed down, still I gave you the world. The only thing you cared about was getting high on Zans and Pearl. Mr. Robinson, why'd you go and play me?
Just tell me why,
yeah. Mr. Robinson, why'd you go and hurt me? Stuck like a trigger to a thumb. With just one touch, you had me so dumb. Love wasn't blind, in this case it was only dumb. All the fist fights, game nights, damn I really miss my first kiss in this bitch, let me reminisce. Ain't no way to take it back, baby, it's all said and done, done, done. Mr. Robinson, why'd you go and play me?
Yes.
Yeah, that's my new song.
Very nice.
Good job.
Yeah,
guys. Thank you.
It's a slow jam, huh? It kind of reminds me a little bit of like something Usher would maybe.
Yeah, I get that. I get Usher a lot, and I get people always met, like they match me with Chris Brown, but I always get Michael Jackson, especially when I sing high. people always told me, they're like, you remind me of Michael Jackson. And I said, well, I think that's a bit much. But thank you.
No, that's a really great compliment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're like, tone it down a little bit.
Tone it down. Take it easy.
No pressure. All right. Well, that's good that we were able to go ahead and play the song. And also, what other type of music do you feel in this new album? What type of music do you feel like, you know, you really had to explore and kind of, you know, go a little bit out of your scope or something?
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, this new album, it drops July 20th. The song will be out and the music video comes out July 10th. But on the 20th, the album will be out. And the reason why it's called You Better Get an Understanding, only because it's like, I want people, mind you,
I shouldn't be saying this live on radio.
But do it. Say it.
My ex was the one who used to say, you better get an understanding. Like, all the time, we would get into an argument, and Mr. Robinson would be like, man, you better start bugging me. You better get an understanding. And I'd be like, what? Like, shut up. Uh-huh. So for me, I kind of took that and said, well, I'm going to steal it and take that straight to the bank. And I really live that as far as this album is, you better get an understanding of who I am. Don't represent me as straight. Don't represent me as gay. Don't represent me as bi. I'm just me. I'm just an artist making music for everybody. So especially this record, Mr. Robinson's first record, my follow-up song is called Weirdo. And I really love the Weirdo record too, because like Weirdo is just, it represents anybody that has never felt beautiful or popular, or if somebody has said, ew, you like the color green, or oh, you're overweight, or oh, you want to grow a beard, or oh, your hair isn't like mine. So really the Weirdo record is an anthem record, an anthem party record that I feel like I want people to get a better understanding of. You don't have to have blonde hair and blue eyes. No pun, that's not why I went blonde. You don't have to have that look, that Hollywood look, to stand out. Because if you look at Hollywood now, they're not casting people that have the look. They want everyday and ordinary people now. That's what's selling. Mm-hmm. So whether you're overweight or overweight, whether you have two teeth in your mouth, whether you're bald headed, whether you wear a wig, whatever you do in life,
right?
Own that weirdness. If people calling you weird, say you're damn right I'm weird.
Embrace it. That's right.
Embrace that and give them the middle finger.
Yeah.
You know, because if they want to be sheep and look like everybody else, that's okay, because I don't. You're gothic, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
If you worship the devil, you just keep that over there. I support you. Just keep it over there.
Right, right.
So over there. It's a free country, but just at a distance.
So the album is really just, it's R&B. Pop and R&B has always been big in my life.
Yeah.
You know, so especially R&B. So
Rhythm and blues.
Yeah. So the album is just really, I want, no matter what aspect of life you live, there's a song for everybody. There's a song for falling in love. There's even a song for if you want to cheat. Okay. I show you the instructions on how to cheat and have a side piece.
Okay.
You know, there's everything. So, but yeah, I just want everybody to know, you better get understanding. And if people don't understand your way of life, you better tell them, hey, you better get understanding, because this is the way I want to live and can't nobody else judge me but me. Because you're going to come pay my bills.
That's right.
But that's really it.
Okay. Know. Good. Good. Well, thank you very much for sharing that.
I'm really happy for this project because I really worked hard on it, and I put more work on this than I've done in the past because of budgeting reasons. But thanks to unemployment, I'm able to, you know, work on my gram a little bit.
Oh yeah, you know.
Thank you, State of California. But
nice,
good.
No, it's good though. Like I just want people to know out there, like as artists, that. There's a lot of artists that hit me up and they don't cut corners. Learn the fundamentals. Even if you're a rapper, learn your scales, learn key signatures, learn all that, because it's going to help you in the long run as an artist, and just practice every day, because that's what I've done. And
yeah,
you want to grow every single. So if there's any young artists out there that wants to know, like, how do I progress? Like, literally, if I'm not working on a job, I'm at home with my keyboard working. So
good.
Practice, learn your keyboard, and make Google your best friend.
Oh yeah,
I Google everything,
and YouTube, and both.
Also, sure. I wanted to ask you. I know the last time you were here, you mentioned you were going through your health issue.
Yeah,
and how's that going?
It's going good. I might be going back to treatment soon. I'm not sure. I just had an MRI, so
For the people that weren't listening last time, can you recap a little bit what it was?
Well, I've been like on and off battling with a brain tumor, and so like it's affected like my career and stuff, because a lot of the times I would have to go in and get treatment, and then like I would just disappear. Like people won't see me online for months at a time, and they won't know, because I'm not really vocal about what I go through. Like, we've been documenting what I've been going through now, because I feel like I want to document it now, so when I'm at a platform that I want to be at, people will know, like, oh, he was actually, why did his look change from look to look to look, and this is what I actually been going through.
I see. Yeah, smart.
So now that I'm actually, like, I feel like I've been good. Actually, I went vegan. That's what
really
did a big change. Since 3 months ago, I went vegan, and I stopped eating meat.
Good for
and
you.
I want to tell y'all, vegan is better when better going through it than hearing it than doing it. Because women tell you, I want a chicken sandwich so bad, I can't. But health reasons, it was good. Like, vegan was a big change that I did in my life. Mm-hmm. And I exercise 45 minutes every morning.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, like, that's what really helped my health cycle. And I feel way better. I've not had a seizure in 3 months since I started going vegan. So
wow.
My seizures have stopped. And I've been feeling really good and really great. So
that's fantastic. So you've really seen a change with your new diet.
Yeah.
Huge positive.
Yeah, like I'm not up late anymore. I have a permanent sleep schedule. I don't have headaches during the day, none of that. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, since I cut out all that, especially I've not drunk pop. I don't eat candy. I've not drunk pop or eat candy in like 2 years.
Wow.
I've been cut that out, but it was
good.
Just that steak, I would go out and I would see that filet, and I would, which meat isn't that bad if you eat it in moderation.
Moderation, right?
Yeah.
I bartend at a steakhouse, so there's no moderation.
Oh, yeah.
There was no moderation.
I remember you mentioned that over somewhere in, like, what is it? It wasn't Montebello.
Torrance.
Torrance.
Yeah.
Torrance.
Black Angus.
Black Angus.
There you go.
It's full of Angus, so
yeah.
Can't stay away. Did they give you those free meals? And I'm just like,
Yeah, I know. That's, yeah.
Well, can I start vegan next week?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Do you feel like when you were going through your treatment that just making music was something that really helped you? Kind of keep your spirits up high and your morale high?
Sometimes.
It's obviously difficult regardless.
Sometimes it does, but like I'm bipolar too. So when my bipolar would come in, like my bipolar is rough on me. So like, and a lot of people who are bipolar know, like I have that time of the month, like a period every month where I feel like I don't want to be here. And it's my bipolar just kicks in. So I have a really, really high part of the month and then a really, really low part of the month. Mm. So it was just preparing myself for those. And then when I was going through treatment, it was just like, especially going through treatment and being in LA, like being in LA alone, it was just like, it just took a toll on my mind aspect of it just made me depressed all the time. So
yeah.
I had to prepare myself. And then when I would write music, sometimes music was therapeutic. But then when I would write those really songs that really got to the core of what I was going through, it didn't do any good. Because I'd be crying afterwards like, oh my God, I can't believe I went through that. I'm just like, oh. But in the end result, me getting all that out was good. Because I bottle a lot of things up until I try to harm myself. And then now that I've learned to how to get it out and when to get it out, you know, I'm good. So,
I understand what you're saying. And do you want to give a shout out to a plug to the person that did your hair?
Yes.
Oh,
please.
Let me give a shout out to Wade the Barber, who's all the way. And this is Washington, D.C. He comes to L.A. a lot, and I met him, and does a lot of celebrities. He's a celebrity stylist, but follow him, y'all, at Wade the Barber. He, you know, he did my hair, he colored my hair, he did everything. He got me together.
I wanna look him up right now since you said it. Wade the Barber.
Maybe he can do mine. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I want to change things up a little bit. Right here. So I got this brown. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking I want to kind of make it green.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Green tips. And then I like the bleach look. Yeah. He did really good with the bleach there. Bleach with like some brown tips, I think would be pretty cool.
You think so? Bleach and brown?
No, get rid of, bleach and, and green. Green tips and bleach. I think that'd look pretty cool for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to end up like her. See, that's the new style.
Oh, okay.
he's gonna give him that style. Yeah. Right there.
The hey. whatever works, you know.
All right.
I know. We got a few more minutes. We're good.
Yes.
Let us go into a little. I don't know. You want to vent about what's on your mind a little bit?
What's on my mind?
What's going through your mind? I mean, I know it kind of. You mentioned it in your song, you know. But is there anything else that you would like to? Wait a minute.
Vent about.
Oh, is that a ventilator?
It's the ventilator.
What's your ventilator? What's your ventilator? Expression is your second nature.
Yeah.
So, listen, my sister is having her bachelorette party.
Mm.
Congratulations to Brittany and Ray. You guys are getting married. So her bachelorette party is July 19th to the 23rd.
Okay.
And is there anything I can't say? Because I might say something.
Just limit the cursing.
Oh, it's not no cursing.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I told her that, you know, when we got to do it hangover style.
Oh,
mattress
yeah.
Mattress on the rooftop, strippers and cocaine, all of it. I don't do cocaine, but I'm just saying.
We yeah, yeah.
Be there just in case.
I'm go all out.
Not for me, mm-hmm. But you know, you're doing good. So, yeah, she's never been to Vegas before, and I've been to Vegas. Funny thing is when I was like 15, I was in a foster home. Mm. I stole her car.
You did.
And tried to move to Vegas, and nobody, they thought I got kidnapped. They was like, y'all see Will? Where is Will at? I came back a month later in school. They was like, everybody thought you was dead. I was just in Vegas.
Wow.
Vegas and 15 with a fake ID trying to get into the club. They was, the bouncer looked at me like, really? Really?
Really?
Like, 21, they say it on the car.
Uh-huh.
I got it. I got in a couple spots. So.
Nice.
Couple spots I got in. And I that's felt so like funny. I was the man. I was getting drinks.
Yeah.
I had a fake guy. And some of them just looked at me like, yeah, buddy, you better go before I call the police.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, Vegas is going to be fun. You know, she's getting married. And it's funny because my sister, she's been there with me through when I was doing radio shows in people's basements.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was terrible in the beginning, starting out. But I was independent. You know, I was independent. And, you know, and sometimes when you get on Craigslist and somebody's doing a radio show on Craigslist and you show up and...
And it's in the basement.
Mickey in the corner and Rodney the Roach is the co-host. And I'm just like...
That's so funny.
That's
funny.
Well, I guess this is what we're going to do. So...
I think you've upgraded since then.
Yeah, I think we've upgraded.
I think this is pretty good,
this is
right?
Pretty,
yeah,
it's
pretty good.
It's a good step right. up being on the Strange right. Chameleon Show.
Yeah. Sure. It's a pretty big step up. You know, no surprise guests have popped in here, you know.
Oh, like a mouse or
yeah,
something.
A mouse or Rodney. You know, Rodney just crawled up and was right here.
Really?
He just, you know, when a roach is too comfortable in his surroundings, you cannot trust. When a roach is so comfortable, because nearly roaches, when the light, especially when the light is on and a roach just crawl up and you just.
Yeah.
You're like, what's up? What's up? I'm like, bro.
Bro.
No.
This is worse. That
it's because it's bad
done.
Enough we got to walk around looking like Mortal Kombat characters with this mask on.
Yeah, I know. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Joe's apartment?
Yeah, I love that show.
Oh, MTV show back in the day with all the roaches, and he just became friends with them. It was crazy.
And it's funny, though, because I don't like the COVID, because I be at the supermarket, and I be seeing people that look cute from the eye up, and then they give me their Instagram, and I get home, and it's buck tooth teeth separated like a gate. And I'm like, no, why have I been flirting with you this whole time? I just start meeting people during Corona. You just say, pull your mask down real quick.
That's you got
to
have that.
You have to, because eyes
step
are deceiving.
6 feet away, and eyes, then pull your mask.
Yes, I'm like, step back. Pull your mask down. What's your Instagram? Because I had this man and this girl. Both of them liked me. I was texting them for like a whole week. And I was like, send me a picture, a face picture.
Yeah.
You look terrible. People, y'all listening, if you see somebody Q wants a number, tell them to show them the face under there.
Yeah.
It was like Mortal Kombat Melina with the
teeth. Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
See, like, I dressed as Kitana once for Halloween, the good one.
Okay.
The good one.
The good
twin. Pretty.
Yeah, the good twin. Yeah, the other one is evil. That's why she looks crazy.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have. Thank you.
Hey, hey.
Thank you so much, Will. Can I call you Will? Or are you ex-chill?
No ex-chill.
No ex-chill. No, okay.
No ex-chill. Don't remind him.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Strange Chameleon Show. Go ahead and follow him. You Gotta Chill.
Follow
Will.
Me at You Gotta. You with just the you.
You.
Gotta Chill Will with three L's.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram, everything. At You Gotta Chill Will with three L's. And make sure you get that new song, Mr. Robinson.
Drop
it on iTunes, Tidal, every single platform, July 10th. The music video will be out July 10th.
Nice. Awesome.
And if you have iHeartRadio subscriber, don't forget to check out The Strange Chameleon Show, also on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening.
On LA Talk Radio, thank you for listening to The Strange Chameleon Show.
Under the Rock Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is The Strange Chameleon Show, a podcast with style, soul, and sarcasm, along with laughter, love, and listen! Follow them now on iTunes. I promise, you won't, I mean you will be entertained.